I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. I'm pleased today and excited that you could join me once again for It's a Good Life. And we're going to continue our study in the book of Romans today. And we're going to start in verse 19. That's where we left off last time. And I would encourage you to get your Bible and read along as we study together the book of Romans. Today, let me also invite you to look at our website, lrwm.org. That's lrwm.org. On the website, you'll be able to download a transcript of this program and other programs of It's a Good Life. You'll also be able to listen to this program again as you access the broadcasts for today, the broadcast, today's broadcast, and other broadcasts of It's a Good Life. That's lrwm.org. Or you can write to me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. I'll be glad to send you free of charge a transcript of this program and others that you want to have in, some people like to keep a study series, and if that's you, and if you want to do that, then write to me and I'll be glad to send you transcripts of It's a Good Life. Well, today we continue our study in the book of Romans, and we're going to pick up with verse 19 of chapter 5. Now, Paul the Apostle, of course, is writing to saved people in the church at Rome. Now, he had never visited this church. He wanted to, but he had not been able to up to this point. So what he's doing, he's writing to these people and giving them some instruction. And as we look at the instructions that he's giving to this church at Rome, we can also take a thought of what God is doing. He's speaking to our hearts as well, giving us instruction. Of course, we know the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing it, the Bible teaches that it goes down to the very marrow of the bones. And what that means is that it's all-encompassing. It does something to us that nothing else can do. It tells us who we are, where we are, what we need to do in order to go to the place that God wants us to go to, and that's heaven. And the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it does not return void. In other words, whatever God wants the Word to do, it's going to accomplish that because it is the Word of God. And we're looking at the Word of God today and on every program of It's a Good Life. Well, notice with me now, I said we're going to start in verse 19. Let's start in verse 18. It says, therefore, as by the offense of one, by one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. And what that's telling me is that through Adam's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Adam, through his disobedience, he disobeyed God. And we know that by reading in the book of Genesis that Adam disobeyed God and ate of that forbidden tree that God said, don't eat of it, because in the day that you eat of it, you're going to die. And of course, we know that Adam died spiritually, and because of his disobedience, this spiritual separation from God has now taken place throughout all history of mankind, that mankind is spiritually dead without Jesus Christ. And we also know that physical death, and we're going to look at that in just a moment, physical death came upon all men because all have sinned. And we can blame Adam for the original sin, but we cannot blame Adam for our personal sin, because people choose. They have to make a choice whether they want to serve God or whether they want to remain in their sin. And the way we serve God and the way we obey God is to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior. And when we apply that, when we ask Jesus into our heart, And the Bible tells us that it's through the blood of Jesus Christ that we're saved. When we do that, then God takes that sin away. He looks at us as sinless at that point, because we are, because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Well, as we continue on, we see in the rest of verse 18 there in chapter 5, it says, "Even so, by the righteousness of one," remember, "by the offense of one, judgment came." And now Paul goes ahead to say, "Even so, by the righteousness of one," that's Jesus Christ, "the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." Well, this tells me that justification of life comes through the righteousness of Christ as a free gift for all mankind. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." And then Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." It's God's gift to us when we take Jesus Christ, what He offers us. He offers us salvation, and that's our way to heaven. There's only one way. And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me," or through me. And that's Jesus Christ speaking Himself. And then in verse 19, Paul begins by saying, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." And that's Adam, of course. And it's by his disobedience that many, that means that every person who's born into this world is born into sin, that we are sinners. And then in the next part of that verse, it says, "So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." And that's by the obedience of Christ, and many people will be saved, according to that verse. And then we look on now into verse 20, and it says there, "Moreover, the law entered, that the offense..." Now see, Paul is telling what the law means. The Ten Commandments, do this and do that, and don't do this and don't do that. The Ten Commandments, he says, "Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Now the law entered that the offense, that sin, might abound. But grace abounds much more, according to that verse, verse 20 of Romans chapter 5. But notice now in verse 21, it says, "That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Just as sin reigned and brought death, even so, to a greater extent, grace reigns through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ. No one goes to heaven unless they're righteous. And the only way that a person is made righteous is through Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul's talking about through these verses that we just got through reading. Now, to explain further the way in which salvation is made possible, Paul compares Christ to Adam. We've just seen that. Through one man, Adam, sin and death entered the world, and the consequences have led to the death of many. In a similar way, through one man, Christ, many have now become righteous. It's through Jesus' death on the cross that justification is made possible for many. We've read that. Now, upon comparing Christ with Adam, Paul has briefly mentioned that with the entering in of the law, sin abounded. But the increase of sin has been adequately answered by the grace offered in Jesus Christ. What that means is this. The law, that it says there that Paul is talking about the entering in of the law, sin abounded. What he's letting us realize here is that when we see the law, in other words, the law, the Ten Commandments, was not to save, but to bring us to a place where we realized that we couldn't save ourselves, that it pointed sin out to us individually. And once again, let me remind you, you cannot blame someone else for your problems. You cannot blame someone else for your sin. You cannot blame Adam, stating that it's Adam's fault that you're on your way to hell. The Bible teaches us that we're all responsible for our own sin, and you must be born again, according to John chapter 3. Well, let's move on now, very briefly now, into chapter 6 of the book of Romans. Now, the objectives in studying this chapter we're going to see is to understand what baptism represents and to appreciate the freedom from sin, which freedom we may now enjoy in Christ. We're set free by Jesus Christ. And as we have left chapter 5, Paul made that statement once again, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. And God's grace is abundant. God's grace is offered to every individual in this world. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this is made clear as we study in the book of Romans and other sections of Scripture that tell us there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ, and that many can be saved because they receive Jesus as Savior. Well, let's quickly now, and I don't mean to say quickly in a sense that we're just going to rush through this. We'll come back to this next time, but let me read verse 1, and it says in Romans chapter 6, we'll read verse 2 as well. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Remember that the law pointed out that sin abounds. And Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, there's enough grace to cover all the sin. Well, the more we sin, does that mean that that's good? Paul says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Well, the Lord has much to say to us as we continue to study this section of Scripture. But in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul seems to be asking this, shall we live in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, he says. He says no. And the Bible continues to tell us that we have died to sin. And there are 8 references to the believer's death in Christ in Romans chapter 6 verses 1 through 11. And all are stated in a tense that speaks of action completed in the past. That is, since our sins were placed on Christ and He paid the price of redemption by His death for those sins, we died with Him. We also live with Him in His resurrection. And our daily lives should reflect these great truths. Now, the next time that we gather together here, we're going to pick up with Romans chapter 6. And we're going to study further about the grace of God and what God has for each of us. Do you know Him today as your Savior? Have you trusted Him? Why not do so right now? Ask Him to come into your heart. And the Bible says that if you will ask Him, faith believing, that He will save you. And if you are saved, you need to be serving Him today. Are you serving Him? If not, you need to be serving Him right now. Lord, forgive me for not serving You. Thank You for saving me, and I want to serve You from this point on. Thank You for joining me today, and until this next time when you hear me say, it's a good life, may the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.